Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. If you have Bibles, stand and turn to Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3. And we'll read a few verses and we'll see what the Lord has for us tonight. Amen. Colossians chapter number 3. And we'll read verse number 1. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God."
Yeah.
"Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory."
Amen.
The Lord be our helper tonight. We're going to preach on, what clothes do you have on?
Amen.
What clothes do you have on? Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your mean blessing, Lord. We pray and ask, Lord, that you help us tonight, Lord. Lord, we need your touch. We need your guidance. We need your wisdom. God, I pray that you start with me, Lord. I pray you empty me of myself.
Yes,
fill with your spirit so I can preach of thus saith the Lord. Lord, God, we didn't come to hear from myself, Lord. We came to hear from you.
Yes,
and God, I pray you move in the midst of all of us, Lord.
Yeah.
And God, we'll be quick to give you all the praise, Lord. We love you. Listen, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. What clothes do you have on? I was about to say two. Now it's three women in my household. And all of us make a choice every single morning what we're going to put on.
Amen.
Many of us, hallelujah, I hope you put on something, amen. We make a decision every day to put on some clothes. Many of us spend a lot of time and put a lot of effort into picking out our clothes, especially women. Women, when they pick out clothes and hallelujah right there, brother. My wife, I come in the room and she has one dress up on hanging on the curtain thing. And then I come back and she has two dresses up there. Watch out, DJ. Watch out now, brother. Then I come back and she have on a totally different dress. Amen. And I'm gonna pick on all of us this morning, especially my wife and amen and the women. But nonetheless, you have a mirror in your house. And all of us, we go and we look at this mirror, some of us more than others. And my wife, we have a mirror in our bedroom. When you leave the bedroom, there's a long mirror, not even 10 feet outside of our door. There's another long mirror. And then the bathroom, there's another mirror. And somebody say amen right there. But nonetheless, we check out ourselves, especially women. They spend a lot of time and they look at these different mirrors and they leave the house. And when I leave the house, before we pull off, I see my wife. She flipped down that little visor. And what is she doing? She looking to see if everything is still all right. Right now, it's a little misty and it's a little humid. And with black women, that's not good, amen. I mean, all it takes is a little fog, a little rain. If you got curly hair, I'm praying for you. But nonetheless, it takes just a little bit, a little wind, a little rain, a little mist, and it changes everything. When we come in the house of God. The first thing, 90% of most of the women in here, I'm sorry, y'all go straight to the bathroom. Y'all won't shake anybody's hand. Y'all go straight to that bathroom to do what? You checking out how to see everything is still where it's supposed to be, I'm assuming. Amen. But nonetheless, we're looking and we're checking to make sure our clothes are still intact. And see, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17, I'm making a comparison of clothes and a new life. The Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new." Amen. You're not the same person you used to be. You don't have the same clothes on that you used to have on. Amen. Some of us, we grew up in the 70s and the 80s, and you had different hairstyles. You had different the different shoes. You had the platform shoes and the big bell bottoms. Amen. And that was in at the time. Amen. We still not in the 70s, amen. We not in the 80s, and hallelujah for that, amen. But nonetheless, I don't know what's wrong with the kids now because they changed, and the clothes they wear now is skinny jeans, and amen, I can't get my wallet in a pair of skinny jeans, so I just can't do it. Nonetheless, we change our clothes. We don't have the same clothes on that we used to. The Bible says in Galatians chapter number 2 and verse number 20, the Bible says this, in Galatians chapter number 2 and verse number 20, the Bible says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He gave himself for me. So what changes here? My attitude changes. My appearance changes. All these things change when I become a new creature in Christ. Amen. We are crucified. We all die daily. You don't keep on the same clothes every single day. We change our clothes. So my question to you this morning, or this evening rather, what clothes do you have on? Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hey, extra time. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen. So number one, we preaching on. What clothes do you have on? Yeah. When we have this, amen, we have a change of new clothes. The first thing you see is we have new heavenly desires. New heavenly desires. Desires change. Look what the Bible says in verse 1. The Bible says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, set your affection, that means your mind, the exercise of your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. So the first thing that happens is this. You and I get saved. We have new desires, heavenly desires. There's things of God that we desire to have. Now, a lot of times, folks who are not saved don't understand that. They can't comprehend that. Well, I mean, why do you want to go to church? Y'all go Sunday morning, Sunday night, midweek service, then activities on Wednesday, and then y'all have stuff on Saturday. That's just too much. You know, we only go one time. For the whole week, just one time. Mm-hmm. Now, that's enough for anybody. But you know what, my friends? When you get saved, you do have new desires. Your desires begin to change. But not only that, you have a new heavenly deliverance. Look, the Bible says in verse number 3, the Bible says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, if you were to go out in the cemetery and say to one of those graves, listen, I need you to talk back to me, give me some feedback. Now, if they did give you some feedback, you're going to be feeding back, all right? You'll be out of that place, amen, because dead people don't talk, amen?
Mm-hmm. Amen?
Well, now, think about this. If we are dead in Christ, that means we're supposed to be dead. I am dead. See, but you're alive. I'm alive, but I should be dead in Christ. That means this. It's not about what I want. It's not about what does God want. What does God want me to do? Because now, my friends, I've been delivered from this old body of mine. Now, I know I have the old man still living there, but I also have now the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that he's supposed to die daily. Look what the Bible says over in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 6. Look at Romans 6 and look at verse number 6. Look what the Bible says right here, straight from the pages of God's word. Romans 6 and look at verse number 6. The Bible says this, knowing what, preacher? Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with who? With him, the Bible says, that the body of sin, watch it now, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is what?
Freed from sin.
Freed from sin. That then messed up somebody's theology. Mm-hmm. Because what we'll say is this, wait a minute. When I'm thinking about it, I can't help but serve sin. I'm a slave to sin. We are a slave to sin because we give ourselves over to it. Because according to the Bible, I didn't make this up. The Bible says here in this verse, my dear friends, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve, be the slaves of sin. For he that is dead is free from sin.
Amen.
So what we do a lot of times is we walk up to sin, and we just, well, you know, I can't help myself. So just put them on me, because I'm a slave to this particular sin. You know, I can't, this is my thorn in the flesh. Okay, notice, the Bible says it's a thorn in the flesh. It didn't say it was a sin in the flesh.
Right.
So why can we think it's got to be a sin? So this particular sin, I just can't never have victory over. Well, that's a lie of the devil, my friends, because according to the Bible, we've been freed from it. So instead of us just walking up and saying, just go ahead and put that particular sin on me because I can't help myself, we say, you know what? I'm free from that.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not wearing those chains anymore. And not by my power, my might, but by the power of the Holy
Amen.
Spirit. because I have been delivered because of Christ. Hallelujah. Not only that, my dear friends, we have a new heavenly destination. Go back over to our Colossians and look at verse number 3 again, back in Colossians. We have a new destination. The Bible says in verse number 3, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, man, there's a lot of good stuff here, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. One of these days, my friends, we out of here, baby. We are gone, gone, gone. Amen. We're like on Star Trek. Beam me up, Scotty. Amen. We are out of here because we have a new destination. Before, my destination was hell, but now my destination is heaven because I put my faith and my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only that, my dear friends, we should also have a new heavenly determination. Look with me over to, look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 3. How determined are we? Sometimes we just give up.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to a cycling class that we had, that was last week. And I said, I'm going to that cycling class. When I went to that cycling class, and I'm going to tell you what, if it was just me and that by myself, I would stop within 15 minutes. This class is 45 minutes long, okay? Up, down, up, down. It ain't like up, down, up, down. It's like we up for 5 minutes. Turn the resistance. She said, turn it. You got to turn it, you know? And if you don't turn, everybody be watching you say, turn it. You know, so you make sure you got to turn it. When you turn up there, it means more resistance. And so sometimes I'm like, man, I'm about ready to give up. But you look over, and you got somebody 79 years old over there, and they just ride along. You're like, well, they 79. I'm 52. I got to keep going, amen? So I got to be more determined, amen? But sometimes, my friends, we're not as determined as we need to be, amen? And God will help us. We already talked this morning about how he is Jehovah God. He is what? Almighty.
Almighty.
He has all power, my friends. He's omnipotent. He has more than enough power to help us to continue to be determined to go forward for Jesus Christ. Look what the Bible says over here in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 3. The Bible says this. We'll back up verse number 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him.
Amen.
For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope, glory to God, have this hope in him, purified himself, even as he is pure. Listen, my dear friends, do we have that particular hope? When we realize that one of these days, we're going to take off this old mortal flesh, my friends, we're going to put on immortality. And then that's why when we say things like this, when we say, well, you know what? I want so-and-so's house to be next to mine, their mansion next to mine. I want to be down the block. You ain't going to think like that.
Amen.
You're going to have a new mind. I mean, you're going to have new desires. All these things are going to be different, amen? And we need to be more determined to be more like Christ, not just some days, but every day. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Go back to Colossians chapter number 3. First, we saw the change of the new clothes. Now we're going to see the challenge of the new clothes. The challenge of the new clothes. Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 5. The Bible says, mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. The word mortify means to put to death. Every single day, we need to put to death some things.
Amen.
We need to put to death some things. We need to put to death, first of all, our flesh. The Bible says, which are upon the earth. Fornication. Fornication. We need to put to death fornication. Amen.
Amen.
Put to death. The Bible says uncleanness. Anything that's not good, that's not proper. We need to put it to death. The Bible then says inordinate affections. Mm-hmm. Inordinate affection. That word inordinate affections, it means, and it went by where to go, verse 9. Yeah. It means passions. It means passions. So we need to put to rest our own passions. Our own passions or desires or our own lust. The next one said, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence. That is desires. That's also desires, lust. They go hand in hand. These are our sins, and these are things that's a part of our, that's as part of our nature that we need to put to death. And see, It's a challenge to be negative. So we're challenged to be negative. There's a good time to be negative. Be negative to do what? Put to death these things here. The Lord, he mentioned these things so we could be aware of it. The Bible then says, and covetousness. Covetousness, or desiring something that does not belong to us. That go back to passion. See, we're very, very passionate about a few things. We're very passionate about work. And see, sometimes we get so distracted by work, we forget why we're going to work. We go to work to provide for our families. Yes, but we get so distracted, but now we get distracted on things that I need more. I want this. You have a new car. I want a new car. You drive a Honda. I want a new Honda. You drive a Kia. So I want a new thing. So we go to work and we start changing. And then our lust and our affections should be for the Lord. It begins to change. Amen. And our lust and we begin to lust and covet things which is not ours. Then the Bible says, which is idolatry. Idolatry is continuating. It says covetousness, which is idolatry. Idolatry is worshiping something. You're worshiping something. We all should not have things that we worship. Right. I remember growing up, I worshiped sports, more particularly football. And see, something like that, you wouldn't think that football can be an idol.
Yeah.
Why can't it be? It's something that you put in the place of God.
Right, every single
day, I would wake up, I would do push-ups, and I would do sit-ups, and I would go work out. Why? Because I'm thinking about football. I would go home. I'm reading this playbook. I studied the playbook like it was the word of God. I knew that thing back and forth, and I played different positions. Why? Because I was I idolized football. My peer that I loved growing up was Deion Sanders. And Deion Sanders, before a game, he would lay his clothes out. So I did the same thing. I would lay my outfit out, my clothes. I would lay out my helmet there because I had the helmet. I had the shoulder pads, my jersey.
Yeah, yeah.
I had my pants and all the way down to the socks and my cleats. I would have it all out, and I would just stare at it. Blue and gold, hallelujah. I still love it, amen. I felt something, but it's passions. We all have passions. See, we all have desires and lusts, but we should switch our desires, things that we covet. We should be coveting God. We should be coveting things like that. So it's a challenge also to our nature. These are sensual sins, things that we feel. If you go back, he's talking about things that's burning desire, that's the passion. The reason people fornicate is because they're burning with desire. The Bible says. if you, he said over there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 7, he's telling you to, if you have a burning desire, man, get married. Don't sin. That's what he said. Matter of fact, let's go there. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. Because our young people, amen, and older people, we all need to hear this, amen. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. Paul said he wished that all men would be like him. And we talked about this yesterday what is it called, amen? Preachology 101. Preachers, amen. Y'all should be at Preachology, amen. Hallelujah. I'm moving along. The Bible says over there in verse number 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9, the Bible says, if they cannot contain, let them marry. For it's better to marry than to burn. You burn it with what? With passion. With passion. With passion. Just listen, sin feels good. Don't lie to ourselves. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin. There's pleasure in sin for a moment, for a season, amen. Well, we don't want to stay there, amen. We want to be in the Lord. We want to dwell with him. Why? Because it's heavenly. We just need to be heavenly minded. We need to have heavenly clothes on, amen. And then there's also, the Bible says there's also, let me see, you got sensual sins. Then we have social sins. Down there, I'm in the wrong chapter. That time, moving quick on me. Chapter 3 and verse number 9, verse number 8, the Bible says, but now ye also put off all these. Put off what? Anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. We need to put off these social sins and we need to put them all off. And the Bible then says there's a challenge. Amen. I'm out of time. Pastor, you go ahead.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Bless you. Amen. Amen. There is a challenge. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a challenge to be new. Amen. Verses 9 says, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. And then the Bible says this, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Amen. And that is a challenge, but it's not an impossible challenge because you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Amen. But not only that, my dear friends, we also see this, thirdly, the characteristics of the new clothes or the new life. Okay, look at verse number 12. The Bible says this. It says, put on, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. When's the last time we got up in the morning and put on some mercy? Wear some mercy. Some of us wear some, not us here, but other folks. They wear meanness, amen? But don't put on meanness. Put on some mercy. Folks need mercy just like you and I need mercy. But then he also says this, put something else on. What's that, preacher? He says this, not only put on mercies, but he says this, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another.
Amen.
If any man have a quarrel against some particular people, he says, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave who?
You.
He says, do what? So also do ye. My dear friends, the Bible says just like he forgave us, that we're supposed to be forgiving each other. But a lot of times we don't do that. Well, they ain't asked me. It don't say that, does it? He says forgive. Put it off, amen? Put on some things. But now, on that, I'm going to give you some verses for that. Look what the Bible says over here. Go over to Matthew 18 and verse number 21. Forgiveness, my dear friends. Look at Matthew 18, verse number 21. Look what the Bible says here. We all might want to highlight this verse. Matthew 18 and verse number 21. Look what the Bible says here. Matthew 18 and verse number 21. The Bible says this, verse 21. The Bible says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall I forgive my brother, or shall my brother sin against me and not forgive him? Till seven times? Is that a good number? And then he goes on to say this, my dear friends. He says, Jesus said to him, I say not unto thee until seven times. But until 70 times seven. Okay, let's slowly back up. He says, how often shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him till seven times. That's number completion. He says seven times 70. That's 490 times. Mm-hmm. Now, I know how some of us might do. Let me see. We on 390. But he's trying to tell us, my dear friends, is as much as a person needs to be forgiven, to forgive them. Because watch what he goes on to say. Therefore, he says, is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king. And he goes for an illustration. We're not going to read all that. And he gives an illustration of somebody that doesn't do these things and what happens to them. So the Bible teaches us to forgive, my friends. Not only that, look at Luke 17, verse number 3. Luke 17 and verse number 3. Yeah. Luke 17, verse number 3.
Well, I don't know about all that, preacher. You know, I'm just weak.
No, come on, get some strength, baby. Listen to what the Bible says here. In Luke 17, verse number 3, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, preacher.
He says, and if you repent, forgive him. Yeah. He goes on to say, and if he trespass against, oh my soul, against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day, turn again to thee, said, I repent. So I said, I ain't going to forgive him. Amen. He says, thou shalt do what? The Bible says here, my friends, thou shalt forgive him. I like what the apostles said. They said this. And the apostles said to him, Lord,
increase our faith.
Yeah.
Listen to him, my friends. And by the way, we might have to do the same thing. Say, Lord, you have to increase my faith on this one. I mean, seven times a day? I mean, he said, this number seven. I see tomorrow, baby. No! Listen, what he's trying to tell us is that you and I need to take off some things, but put on some things. And one of the main things I think we need to put on is something called forgiveness.
Amen. 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 Go back to Colossians chapter number 3. And we'll close up. Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 16. The Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. If we're putting on these new clothes or these new virtues or these this new living, this new life, it's a new direction. We need to make new decisions.
Yeah, yeah.
And we need to decide in our lives that in verse number 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, where deed is there, it's an action. So whatever we are, word or indeed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Giving thanks to God and the Father by him. If we're doing everything in the name of our Savior and our Lord, that would change how we view one another. That would change how we think. That would change. It'll give us a heavenly mindset.
Yes.
The Bible said that let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. So we need to change our mind. We need to change our heart. We need to have a forgiving heart. We need to have a forgiving speech. Why? Because we need to do everything in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I got a couple questions and we're done. So what type of clothes do you have on? Are we clothed in righteousness? Because that's what the Bible teaches us. We're not clothed in our own righteousness.
Right.
We're clothed in Christ's righteousness. What does righteousness mean? Being in the right standing, the right standard. So what type of clothes do you have on? Do you need to have a funeral and bury some of your old ways? Do we need to have a funeral and bury some of our old ways?
Amen.
And when we bury something, we put the time of birth and the time of death. See, all of us, if you're born again, you have a time of birth. Amen? And therefore, if we have a time of birth, that means something died. The old man died. The flesh didn't die. The flesh is still there. But we see over there in Romans chapter 6, we can have power over it.
Right.
Christ gives us the power over it. Why? Because you got to remember where we're seated at. We're seated with Christ, the Bible says. That's right now. We're seated with Christ. We're the body of Christ. We're seated with him. Do you need help putting off some of those clothes? Some of those sins? That's all. We keep each other accountable. But the best person to keep you accountable is the Holy Ghost.
Yes,
he's inside of you.
Right,
the Bible
right,
said he
right.
will lead you and guide you to all truth.
Right.
What is he speaking to you today? I know he spoke to me.
Amen.
Lastly, let's ask God to help us right where we are. For he truly is all in all. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for your amazing grace. Lord, we thank you for your mercy. Lord, we thank you for dying for old sinners like all of us. Well, Lord, we're not even worthy. But you saw a need. You saw it fit to save us and deliver us. We're justified because of you. We're sanctified because of you. And one day, thank God, we'll be glorified because of you. All because of what you did on that cross. Lord God, we love you. Help us to change our clothes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand.